Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 11:07, and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today is June 16th, and I have to run to the airport to attend a charity event for Ducks Unlimited in Las Vegas this evening. So that's why I am recording the audio a little bit earlier than normal. But it's an interesting day overall, not least because of the decision made by the Bank of Japan in continuing to refuse to increase the size of their stimulus. They're sticking to their negative interest rate policy and increasing their purchases when yields are negative, you know, virtually ensures they're going to lose money on those purchases. And that's the equivalent of helicopter money. Because it's simply just giving money away. And therefore, they're probably not yet ready to do that. But obviously, if the economy comes under additional pressure, then nothing can be ruled out. And I suspect it's a very similar situation for the ECB. So we have moved beyond quantitative easing. We are now in a different environment overall for monetary policy. And if it was extraordinary before, then it's doubly extraordinary now. But this is also, and it was terrible and a real tragedy that that violence has entered the Brexit campaign in the UK. But and it's symptomatic, though, of the polarization that we are now getting between various people with differing opinions, and the extremes that people are willing to go to make their point. And that's not a great sign for democracy, and perhaps it's symptomatic of a deeper decline in the standards of governance, because there is incredible disaffection among a large proportion of the population with the effects that these extraordinary measures that many people see as having primarily benefited the wealthy or the banks over the ordinary citizens, and that is not the case just in the UK, but right across Europe and in North America. And it represents a risk premium, perhaps not in the short term, but in the medium term. And then what we have seen, though, is that the decline on European stock markets was paired in here today. And the relative strength of the yen was also paired. Personally, I'm a little bit nervous about my NASDAQ short, and I've imposed a stop on it now. And you might recall that in previous audios I've expressed disquiet with using stops at all, because I'm increasingly of the opinion that using stops is outsourcing the decision to sell, and I don't believe, and in that case perhaps stops are to be viewed in the same way as trend lines, in that they're a crutch rather than taking responsibility and making decisions for oneself. And that doesn't mean that they don't have a place, but one does have to use them with eyes wide open as to what exactly are the motivations behind it and what are the benefits from using them. But with that proviso, I have introduced a stop on that short, and I've also taken profits on my gold and silver positions, selling half both those positions because I think they're short term overbought. And as we approach the Brexit decision, there is a question as to what extent this assassination of a pro-Europe politician is likely to have on public sentiment within the UK. So the potential for the Brexit to vote next week to represent a change in terms of the direction in stock markets remains very much the case. And I am personally thinking that I'm going to lighten up positions heading into it. And not least, when we look at where Bitcoin continues to go, and I still have a long in that, I'm also increasingly nervous about that because I have, because I believe it's totally dependent on what the Chinese are likely to do. And the Hang Seng today was down 2%. the Chinese stock market continues to trade, and I think the index to watch is the CSI 300, because that's the one that has the futures attached to it, and that continues to trade above 3,000, and the 3,000 level continues to be defended. And but nevertheless, the Chinese are do appear to be now pumping up the value of another asset, and this is a country and a market with very few alternatives, and a very shallow bond market, and lacking the kind of regulatory infrastructure that we would be accustomed to elsewhere. So then it is prone to these bubbly kind of environments. Now, the other big news in here today is the oil price. And I was just looking at the oil chart over the last year before I started the audio. And so far, since the low in January, it has had five pullbacks in the region of between $5 and $6. And the largest pullback was the very first one at the beginning of February. And since then, and this pullback that it's had just this week or over the last 5 days is creeping up on $6. It's also in the region of the 200-day moving average. So now, if oil prices are going to remain in what has been a really incredibly consistent advance, then they're going to bounce from this area. If this is going to become an inconsistent advance, then they would fall further and potentially bounce, but it's going to be more difficult, considering that prices just about doubled. Not quite, but pretty close to doubled from the January low. Then it's going to become progressively more difficult for prices to go higher from here, because so much more of that relatively expensive supply becomes economic north of $50. And it certainly, you've been able to hedge future production with, you know, up to about 9 months at above $50 a barrel. So then that's a pretty comfortable position for a fairly sizable proportion of unconventional supply. When we look at other markets, then the majority of stock markets have been pulling back for the last week, and short-term oversold conditions are evident. So there is potential for a bounce in here. The fact that that silver prices have gone from less than $16 to test almost $18 in here today, well, that's also a short-term overbought condition. So there is potential for some, at least some consolidation of that move in here right now. I think that oil prices are going to weigh in here. But when we take a step back and we look at where we are in terms of the cycle, then the potential for monetary policy to continue to dictate the way that markets are likely to move is perhaps the base case. And something that Howard Marks said in that video I posted yesterday really resonated with me, and it was that when he said that in the bond markets now, you can either have security or you can have income, but you can't have both. And that pushes people out the risk curve, that they have to take on additional risks to capture the yield they require. And that's not a particularly healthy scenario, but neither is it a new one. And the question isn't about whether it's a problem or not, but rather whether it's going to become a critical problem anytime soon. And the ability of central banks to influence that event is very high indeed. So if we continue to see central banks adopting progressively more extraordinary monetary measures, then it's less likely to become an immediate problem, but more likely to become an increasingly large medium-term problem. One thing that we do know is that that extraordinary monetary policy does a great job of inflating asset prices. So we've had a pullback on stock markets, and we've had some of the very, I guess, ebullient forecasts put under pressure. And now we're back in the region of the 200-day moving average for Wall Street. In Europe, and that's a potential area of support, just to nail that point home. But then when you look at Europe, there has been an additional pullback from the region of the moving average, and most of those indices have been trending lower now for over a year, and they really do need to rally from these lows to close the overextension relative to the MA, but they need to sustain a move above it to really indicate that supply has been overcome and that the demand dominance is now the base case. And they have a bit of work to do before they can do that. The potential for Brexit to represent a potential catalyst. And the problem is that there is such volatility surrounding it that it's very hard to have a high conviction trade beforehand. But perhaps it would be a swift thing to do is to watch how things are evolving on the 24th, and then to give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic in whichever way that comes, because we're very likely to get a dynamic move. And of course, I'm not the only person thinking like that. I'm sure that there are plenty of other people thinking the same way. And there was articles yesterday in the major media talking about the central bank, or sorry, the investment bank staying open 24/7 around the time of the result in order to cater to the volume that they're expecting. So that would suggest that it is going to be a very volatile environment. In the meantime, I think, you know, that this was a with the dollar strengthening today, the yen strengthening, the bond prices really quite firm, but none of them have held their peaks of the day. And then gold prices are actually in negative territory right now, having been as high as $1,315. They're at $1,287 right now. So we are getting a little bit of a consolidation there. What we did see was that because of that dollar strength earlier on in the day, it did put pressure on other commodities, and the majority of them were in negative territory. But with the we are seeing now that they're off their lows as well. So again, it is really quite a volatile environment. But I think with that, I'll leave you for today. I wish all the best to all of you.